Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Sun Tzu is famous, or infamous if you like, as the author of The Art of War. And one of his more famous quotes out of The Art of War is on the screen here. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Now, I doubt that the Apostle Paul read The Art of War, but that quote has helped me unpack the complexity of Romans chapter 7. He's not a Christian, by the way, just let's make that really clear. Here's the complexity of Romans 7. How could Paul write in verse 14, "I am of the flesh, sold under sin"? I mean, isn't the whole point of Romans chapters 5 and 6 to highlight that the Christian in Christ is set free from sin? In Christ, we're now alive. And then to really top it off, in verse 24, Paul calls himself a wretched man. "O wretched man that I am. Sold under sin, wretched man." Does that not undo all the benefits of justification by faith that we've been learning in Romans so far? Now, you might know, if you've been a Christian for a while, that there is some debate around Paul's use of "I" in Romans chapter 7. In the first half of Romans 7, some say that the "I" that Paul uses actually isn't Paul referring to himself, it's referring to Adam, or maybe it's referring to Israel as a whole, or maybe Paul is writing about himself. And then in the second half of Romans 7, when Paul shifts from the past tense into the present tense, again, some will say that Paul is speaking of himself, or Paul speaking of "I" before he was a Christian, or Paul using "I" grammatically to talk about all non-Christians, unconverted humanity. And while the debate is important, I believe it's overemphasized. Now, I believe when we focus on who is the "I" in Romans chapter 7, we miss the point of Romans 7. And here's the point of Romans chapter 7. Sin is an inner, constant, wily enemy. The Christian must know the enemy within and engage in daily war. Brother, sister, if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but you don't know your enemy, for every victory gained, you'll also suffer a defeat. If you know neither yourself nor your enemy, you will succumb in every battle. And so here's where we're headed tonight. Firstly, as we work through verses 14 to 25, firstly, we're going to get to know our enemy. Then we're going to get to see the gravitational force of our enemy. And then we're going to finish with grace. And so know your enemy, the gravitational force of our enemy, and grace. Firstly, know your enemy. Now, Romans 7, 14 to 20. So verses 14 to 20 say the same thing twice. Verses 14 to 17 and verses 18 to 20 are saying the same thing. Not word for word, but meaning for meaning. This reinforces the fact that if we're going to war, we need to know our enemy and we need to know ourselves. Now make sure your Bible's open. You've got a moment. I want you to follow along. My goal is, by the end of tonight, you go, okay, I follow the logic of what's going on in these verses. Okay, so chapter 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Okay, this is referring to last week, God's Old Testament law. We know that the law is spiritual. It's from God. It is supernatural. It is godly. And then verse 14 goes on to say, but I am of the flesh. And so the law is spiritual. It's of God. It's supernatural. But I am fleshy. I'm of the world. I am natural. And then it goes on to say, sold under sin. Does that contradict chapters 5 and 6, where we're told that in Christ, we died to sin? We're released from slavery to sin. We're now slaves of righteousness. Do you see the dilemma here? But note, verse 14 does not say, I am sold under sin. You're looking at verse 14? The I am belongs to I am of the flesh, comma, sold under sin. It doesn't say I am sold under sin. And as a matter of fact, we could more literally translate it, I am of the flesh, comma, having been sold under sin. Paul's actually recalling what he's already said in chapter 5. Yeah, I was sold under sin. I was, having been sold under sin, because I, like the rest of humanity, was under Adam, having been sold under sin. Verse 14 sits very comfortably with what Paul has wrote already about once being in Adam. Verse 14 helps us see why the Christian still battles with sin, even though we have been rescued from our slavery to sin. Let me repeat that. Verse 14 helps us see why the Christian still battles with sin, even though we have been released from the slavery to sin. It's because we're still fleshy. I'm of the flesh. According to Romans 5, right through to chapter 7, verse 6, Adam is no longer our representative. Who's our representative now? Lame, but right. All right. No, Adam no longer is our representative. Jesus is now our representative. Sin is no longer our identity. In Christ is now our identity. Sin is no longer our master. Jesus is now our husband. We are no longer under law. We are now under spirit. That's Romans 5, 6, beginning of chapter 7. But all of that is true. And here is the heartbeat of chapter 7. Are you ready for it? Little drum roll. We have an inner enemy. The flesh. Sin. Between our justification and our glorification, there is an inner, constant, wily enemy. An ongoing desire for sin. Verse 14 calls that inner enemy our flesh. Chapter 6, verse 12 called it our passions. Chapter 6, verse 19 called it our natural limitations. Literally, natural is fleshly. Last week, we heard it called covetousness in chapter 7, verse 7. And so verse 7 of chapter 14 does not contradict what's been taught in chapters 5 and 6. 7:14 spells out and gives a name to our inner enemy, the flesh. The flesh. And then verse 15 goes on, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. See the four at the beginning of verse 15? Paul's giving evidence for what he just said. This flesh is an inner enemy. Four, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. Now, verse 16, now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. Over the years, I've often had Christians share with me their sorrow over some particular sin, and they're sharing in such a way that is self-defeat. But more often than not, that sorrow is a positive sign, not a sign of defeat. To see sin, is a sign that we're seeing the world as God sees the world. I'm far more worried about a Christian who cares little about their sin. It's good to see our sin. In effect, we're agreeing with God. Verse 16, now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law, that it is good. And then verse 17, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Verse 17 is a critical conclusion to verses 14 to 16. But before I show you the conclusion, I want to show you that 14 to 17, verses 18 to 20 are just repeating what 14 to 17 have already said. That slide is trying to help us see that. Do you like the color coordination? Say a really loud yes, I like it. Yes. All right. I ripped it off from another preacher. You might know him. His name's Troy Elton. Hey, all right. And so if you follow the colours, saying something not word for word the same, but meaning for meaning. Verses 18 to 20, saying what we've already been told in verses 14 to 17. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. I'm fleshy. That is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Can you see how it's a repeat of what we've already just read? It is important. God wants us to know our inner enemy. He's repeated it twice. Now verse 17, verse 20. It's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. That may sound like an excuse, sort of like the devil made me do it. Ooh, it's no longer I, it's just my sin. But God is not giving us an excuse. God is telling us who we are and who our enemy is, which is great. Because if you remember Sun Tzu, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. Firstly, know yourself. Verse 17 and verse 20 say, it is no longer I who do it. Who's the I? It's the new self that is now united to Christ. It's the new self we looked at in Romans chapter 6. This is how 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 describes this new self. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Christian, know yourself. You are a new creation. Know yourself. Know your enemy. Look at all that is said about sin in chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 11, we looked at last week, sin, it seizes opportunity. Sin, we're told in verse 17, dwells within me. Verse 18, where is that sin? In my flesh. This fleshliness, this worldliness that is about us. And then we're about to see in verse 23 that there's also within us a law of sin, a gravitational force. Verses 17 and 20, they're not an excuse. It's no longer I, it's just sin. No, it's no longer I. I'm a new creation. And yet, I have this fleshly inclination to sin. This is critical intel on our enemy. Sin is an inner, constant, wily enemy. Yes, I believe chapter 7 is addressing the Christian and indwelling sin. But the Christian need not fear the enemy. As we learned last week, at the cross, Jesus dealt with the penalty of sin. And right now, Jesus is dealing with the power of sin in our lives. And we know that one day he's coming back again to release us from the presence of sin. But in between justification and glorification, the presence of sin remains, even for the Christian. Therefore, brother, sister, know yourself. You are now in Christ, and know your enemy. Every day we face an inner, constant, wily enemy, indwelling sin. Sin, it's insidious, it's crouching at the door. Know your enemy. And to help us know our enemy even more, verses 21 to 25 tell us about this gravitational force. Have a look at verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, to understand these verses, we need to understand that Paul's now using law differently to what he's previously used it in Romans. Previously, law has been the Old Testament law. But now Paul is using law differently to refer to an inner attraction. Romans 7, 21 to 24 is Paul's Isaac Newton moment. Or I should probably say it the other way around, shouldn't I? Because Isaac Newton came after the Apostle Paul. Somewhere around 1665, Sir Isaac Newton began to investigate why apples fell straight down rather than sideways or float up. That's an interesting sort of character, isn't it? Have you ever thought about the whys behind it all? And so Isaac Newton's the one who's come up with the laws of gravitation, the laws that hold our planets in orbit. Who thought you could have got all of that from just staring at an apple? According to God, there is also a law of sin. Sin is a powerful force lying close to hand, constantly seeking to capture our desires. The gravitational force of sin is waging war within us. Brother, sister, do you know that you are at war every single day? Or do you only think about the war when the explosions happen? 2 weeks ago, Phil encouraged, he actually pleaded with us to do something very, very important. Start telling the full-blown stories of sin. I'm going to pick on pornography, but we could do it with any sin in particular. You see, the porn addict does not begin the porn journey in some dark, deep room. Porn addiction begins way, way back with the fleeting glance and intrigue. And intrigue eventually gives flame to lust. And lust burns into I must have. And my must have turns into I must have more and more and more. Phil is right. We need to get better at telling the full-blown story of sin. We need to go to war on our sin every day, not just the days when the explosions happen. If we get better at daily warfare, there will be less bombs going off. Porn addiction begins way, way, way back in the moment between good desire and bad desire. God made a world in which beauty and sexual desire is a good thing. And so the fleeting glance at someone which sparks a, oh, I'm attracted to them, is not sin. Sin does not happen until we lust, or to use the word from last week, until we covet. Sin happens in the moment we let a good desire metastasize into a cancerous desire. We allow the gravitational force of sin to override good desire and morph it into a bad desire. Did God really say, looking upon the nakedness of someone who is not my spouse is sin? Yeah, nah. And besides, porn helps me get over the stress, the loneliness. And I'm not looking at really hardcore stuff. Sin begins way, 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 way back in the moment between good desire and bad desire. Romans 7 tells there is a gravitational force within us, a law, a force seeking to capture our mind, our soul, our conscience, our good desires. And in that moment between good desire and sinful desire, we have a choice. The choice is ours. We don't get to blame the devil. We don't get to blame God's law. We don't get to blame a toxic boss. We don't get to blame the demands of work and homework and assignments. We don't get to blame the messiness of family life. We don't get to blame the darkness of depression. No, 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 no. Our enemy is within. Our flesh. Our sin. Sin is always lurking. A mature Christian knows the war is daily, moment by moment, choice by choice. An immature Christian ignores the war, or worse yet, just gives up. Now at this point, the gravitational force of sin, the language of waging war, and the language of wretched man might sound hopeless. But Romans chapter 7, it is anything but hopeless. Look at verse 25 with me. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Does that give you whiplash? Wretched man that I am, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That shouldn't give us whiplash. Verse 25 did not come out of nowhere. Verse 25 came out of Romans 1 through 6. The enemy within might be forceful and wily, but God's righteous gospel is perfect and powerful and victorious. Sin might be in me, but he who is in me is not simply stronger, but strongest. Jesus has defeated death and the sting of death, which is sin. And if we were charismatic, we'd all shout amen right now. Thanks be to God. Amen. I wasn't pausing for that, but thank you. This brings us to our final heading, grace. The Apostle Paul was immediately able to follow up, wretched man that I am, with thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because Paul was broken in a beautiful way by grace. here, I want to bring us back to that quote from Sun Tzu. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not your enemy, for every victory gained, you'll also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you'll succumb in every battle. Christian, you are up for the daily waging war because you are in Christ. Romans 7 gives us the intel on our inner enemy. Romans 1 to 6 has already given us the intel on our identity. We are now in Christ. And then Romans 8 is going to give us the intel on how to wage this daily war with hope. Have you noticed? The Holy Spirit went missing from verse 7 through to verse 25. Romans 7 verse 6 introduces the Spirit and then he disappears. We'll get pumped because the Holy Spirit looms large through Romans chapter 8. As a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you and you have the power to fight sin. But Romans 8 is not just that. Romans 8 finishes with the glorious reassurance that nothing can separate you from God. Hope, hope, hope. Do not retreat from your war on sin. Do not be afraid of your war on sin. Do not downplay or forget your daily war on sin. Face the war. Engage in the war. Get excited by the war. You can say with the Apostle Paul, "Wretched man, wretched woman that I am, thanks be to God." And Jesus Christ, our Lord. The war on sin is already won, and guess what? You are not the hero. Jesus is. And you will find deep, deep, deep joy as you rejoice in his victory over your sin. Romans 7 reminds us how frail we are when it comes to the enemy within. Why would God do that? Is he wanting to rub our nose in our frailty? Does he want us to identify as dirty, rotten sinners? By no means. God highlights our enemy within so that we will stop breaking ourselves against his law and come under his Spirit. We must first grasp our powerlessness against our sin so that we can receive as a free gift, his grace. Cheer up. You are a worse sinner than you ever dared imagine. And you are more loved than you ever dared hope. Brother, sister, have you broke yourself upon God's grace? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be, Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Let's pray. Here's our heart, Lord. Take and seal them. Seal them for your courts above and seal them by your gospel of grace, Father. Our hearts are prone to wander. Father, we long for the day when you release us from that. While we wait, would you help us engage in the war? Would you help us engage by starting with your grace? Would you help us see the goodness of all that you say to do? And would you help us as a band of brothers and sisters to engage in that war for your glory and our joy? Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.